Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
And the good Lord came down and said, a new town, a new place to settle, a new place to find ourselves and our gods. And that is exactly what we will do here on American Godcast, Sirius Moonlight. I'm Alex.
We shall name the town Lakeside because it's, you know, on the edge, the side of the lake. If it's in the middle, it'd just be called Lake. And there'd be fish people there, but I made it on the side so they could be leggy humans. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And as mentioned, we're going to be talking about the second episode of Season 3 of American Gods. As usual, spoiler warning, if you haven't watched the episode, go watch it. We're going to do a very brief recap of everything that happened this episode, but mostly we're just going to jump in and talk about some of our favorite bits. The big thing that I want to mention, actually, before we get into the recap even, is I think we expressed some concern about the Native American storyline the last episode,
yes,
whether they're going to be dropping it. I was very pleased to see that we jump right in. That seems to be a major facet of this season and everything that's going on. Specifically, our prologue, we haven't gotten, what did they call them in previous seasons? God stories, times past, something like that?
I wrote down God backstories. I don't know what that is, but I agree. I loved seeing that back in this episode.
Yeah.
God origin stories?
Yeah, God origins. That's what they originally called the Bible, and then they came up with the other name. So we get this backstory on a Native American god that a bunch of settlers, it seems, well, not a Native American god, a god that a bunch of folks are sacrificing people to. It certainly seems to tee up what happens towards the end of the episode as Shadow Moon gets more assimilated here in Lakeside after having a gun stuck in the back of his neck the last episode, kind of clashes with some townies, gets to know them a little better, finds out about Christmas pasties. Pasties.
No, I think they're called pasties in the show because pasties are what goes on your nipples.
Well, this can go on your nipple too. Let's be honest.
That's fair. That's the traditional way.
You can put anything
to
on your nipples if you just believe in yourself.
I know you've been saying that. I see the poster on the wall behind you, Alex. It's a really good.
It's a kitty with two pastries hanging off. Six pastries. Excuse me.
Oh,
I don't want to insult the number of nipples a cat has.
Cat nipple.
What is happening?
Cat nipple high.
It's too early in the morning for this kind of language.
Oh, and we should say we're recording this as we always do at 6 a.m. Sunday morning. God.
This is the worst. Shadow gets settled in the town. He talks to the cop more than he met the last time, meets his landlord, who he clashes with, but eventually finds an understanding with. Also finds out that Allison, the girl that said he was cute in the last episode, first sells him a coat, which is very nice, and then turns up missing, which is very weird. Meanwhile, we also find about the town's ice tradition. They have an ice festival to honor their founder. One of the things they do is they put a clunker, an old car, on the lake.
They sacrifice cars. Like, what kind of town is this? This is a fucking nightmare.
Hold on, buddy.
Whoa.
That's definitely the nightmarish part of everything that's going on. They put them on the ice, and then they fall through. Shadow gets a very specific bet. He's been wondering why Mr. Wednesday has sent him to the town. This certainly seems to give an inkling of things that might be going on. Meanwhile, they take a little bit of a side trip to go to Chicago for the memorial of Zoraya. Thank you. the memorial of Zariah, a.k.a. Cloris Leachman, I believe, who died last season. We meet Peter Stormare's Chernobog again. He comes back, clashes with Mr. Wednesday, but everybody's having a good old time and getting very drunk in Chicago. And also, Shadow Moon makes a little bit of an alliance with Mr. Wednesday's fiance, which is kind of interesting and probably something to hang on to as we're going forward. But at the end of the day, Shadow Moon is back in Lakeside, momentarily seemingly implicated in the murder or disappearance of Allison, but he gets off of that. And that's kind of our episode. We get our Lakeside stuff. We get a little bit of with Bilquis as well, where she once again unbirths a man. We haven't seen that in a while, but things aren't going particularly well for her. And interestingly, on that side of things, the new gods are entirely off screen this episode. We don't see them at all, which is one of the first episodes ever.
Yeah.
So that all out of the way, let's jump into it. What do you guys want to talk about first?
Well, first off, I think that I agree with you. I really liked the Whiskey Jack stuff, and I'm hoping that's going to be a running thing, you know, throughout the season. But yeah, and that also kind of crosses into Black Beauty a little bit since
Betty,
Black Betty, yeah,
right, and, not the horse movie.
Yeah. Oh, are you talking about the famous horse?
Yeah,
because we should say, yes, Pete, you are a horse boy.
It's too early. My brain is not going to be working. You're going to have to do a lot of, you know, correcting on my part here. But yeah, I'm super excited for like Thunderbird and Black Betty to, you know, team up.
And of course, you're talking about the cars featured in the episode.
Yes, of course, I'm talking about the cars.
As Pete says, the main characters are cars. And I got to say, Pete, watching this episode, I was like, maybe the cars are the main characters. We spent a lot of time talking about Black Betty. There's a whole plot about like, yeah, you should reuse this car. And he's like, what car? Oh, this car is out front. It doesn't work. It's Purple Thunderbird. He drives. It's all the cars implicates him in this.
Right. And then at the end, he gets back into the diner that is very packed for this small town. And he's sitting there and everybody's looking out at the car. Everybody's staring at the car. So, yeah, I think I'm coming around to Pete's way of thinking on this one.
Yeah.
There's the clunker, of course, on the ice that he picks the date when it's going to go.
It's heartbreaking. What a fucking nightmare. Like, I couldn't not think about the fact that there's a car out in the ice the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, is someone going to save this car?
Like, it's a clunker, Pete.
No, stop it. Stop it. There's no such thing. You can do strip for parts. You can. There's so many different things.
I used to strip for parts.
You're killing.
Back in college, right?
Yeah. My pasties. I still have them.
That's a lake full of cars. That's a nightmare lake. Nobody can swim in that. It's full of rusty cars. I mean, that is awful.
No, Pete. Like eventually, every car and human becomes a clunker, and we put both of them out on the ice. And honestly, you're pretty close. You're on thin ice, literally, when it comes to being a human clunker.
Yeah, honestly, I got to say, I think you're going to fall through on March 23rd, Pete.
Yeah, somewhere between 8 and 9 p.m.
That's it.
I think it was prime between time. 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. Okay.
Yeah, let's get the facts right for the Jeopardy. So, you know, at where I'm from, Jeopardy airs first, Wheel of Fortune after.
Well, that's weird. That's super weird.
Because it's always Wheel of Fortune first, because Wheel of Fortune is, clearly an opener. Yeah, it's a joke.
Oh, my God.
It's not even, it's barely a game.
You got to wrap up to the Jeopardy.
Jeopardy's the ultimate game show.
Yes. It's the most dangerous game, is what I always call it.
Indeed. Oh, R.I.P. AT.
Oh, God, that's very dark. Speaking of dark, let's talk about the whole storyline here. So this, specifically like Shadow Moon storyline, what's going on here? What is happening in Lakeside? I know I was super into it, and I still feel like maybe I'm getting too hung up on this. But it definitely feels like watching this episode, love the stuff in Lakeside, thought it was great, love this new setting. I thought it's fascinating. I'm interested in what's going on here, Shadow Moon's purpose. And then this whole side quest over to Chicago, to me, felt like you're just fleshing out the hour-long length of the show at this point. Like, it's nice to see everybody, and I like the stuff with Dentist who collects teeth and everything like that.
Yeah.
Always good to see Dennis O'Hare, great actor. But nowhere near as interesting to me as everything that's going on in Lakeside. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
Well, it's because you know whatever Lakeside's for or whatever, you're enjoying it more.
That's not it. Like, honestly, it feels like there is more energy and interest in that storyline. It feels fresh to me watching the show versus the other stuff that feels like we're treading the same ground that we had in season one and season two.
No. First off, how dare you? I completely disagree because Lakeside is a nightmare of a town where people can just put guns in the back of somebody's neck and then make a joke about it and try to act like everything's fine.
Yeah, versus Chicago where a guy's like, I'm going to bash your head in with a hammer. Anyway,
yes,
go
but
to the
he
roof.
Is the drunken the fucking. He's the drunken god. Yeah, like he. Of course, he's gonna drunkenly threaten you with his hammer. That's his whole deal. That's what I want. I miss that guy. And
just
then the
just
lady
to be clear,
on the roof.
Nightmare. Car falling. Car that doesn't work. Falling through water. Not
Stop
nightmare.
Bringing
not
it up.
Nightmare. Guy who collects teeth from children's mouths.
Yeah.
All right. That we're not talking about that guy. We were talking about the hammer vodka guy.
So you're just not a small town guy, Pete.
All right.
Because small towns are all about guns and heads. The town I grew up in where we watched Jeopardy second, like it should
be. Wellwater town.
They watch it first, which is insane. I grew up on Wellwater. When the ice would go out, everyone would put a wager on it. And if you pick the right day, you get a mug.
That's not real.
That
what
is real.
What did you put on the ice? Huh? What did you put on? What
we
did
didn't
put
an item on the ice. The thing about the ice is you can often see it goes away. Like how in summer, you know, it's okay to jump into it.
Yeah.
You don't need a car sinking to tell you that.
Oh, okay.
But to your point, Alex, I think the point of this podcast also, I like the mix between between Lakeside and the other stuff. Because this show is such a wide open story. There's so many stories happening at once. And mm-hmm. we've already gotten rid of Laura Moon and Mad Sweeney, which I'm sad to see them go, but they're just gone. Like, we don't even, we may never see them again.
No, the leprechaun's coming back. Come on.
Well, I'm completely blanking now because so many different things happened this episode. So we didn't see them again. I assume we are going to see them at some point down the road, right?
I hope so.
Laura's dust, she's gone. I'm sure we're going to see them again, but again, it's like we're seeing all of these characters that right now we're very early in season three, but it feels like, oh yeah, that was part of the story. I vaguely remember that and coming back to them. When everything else, I feel like I'm really harping on this, but everything else feels like it's very well-defined in Lakeside. Like these characters are super clear from the get-go.
But there is a mystery spun up in Lakeside, and I like how – I agree with you. It is a great mm-hmm. storyline. It's slowly unfolding, but there's also a lot of stuff to tie up with the rest of the god world. Like a bunch mm-hmm. of the gods got killed, and this was a funeral service to get back into that. So there's hurt feelings. Wednesday was ostensibly trying to unite his gods to battle the new gods. That's an open-ended mm-hmm. question. That's like not maybe going well. Wednesday clearly seems like he – is feeling pretty good about where he is. He's got Shadow mm-hmm. where he needs Shadow to be. He goes to talk to his dentist friend, who's Tyr, the god.
I don't know if it's his friend.
They seem friends.
Well, Tyr, you know, serves with Wednesday, or he was pissed that he stole his invitation to a party. Makes sense. Yeah. But Tyr is now, with Wednesday.
Is this, I'm forgetting my Norse mythology here. Tyr isn't the father of Odin, right?
No. He's the...
He seems like a creepy cousin who collects teeth.
I mean, that's the way he is in the show. I'm forgetting who Odin's father is in Norse mythology. That's the main thing.
He's the god of war, I think. I'm basing this on my comic book memory.
sure. He's not the god of fear. Fear itself, Marvel Comics crossover. I like that scene. I thought that was fun. And I really like Dennis O'Hare. I mean, here's the thing. I'm definitely pushing up the Lakeside storyline over the other stuff, but I can't begrudge Ian McShane working off of Dennis O'Hare or Ian McShane having a dance fight battle with Peter
Stormare. That's dance fighting right there.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It's good.
I love the whole dentist sequence was really fun.
It was super creepy. The way the guy like kissed the teeth and then was like, oh, somebody sees me. Like, it's creepy how into teeth he is.
Your dentist didn't do that?
Yeah.
That's how I lost all of my teeth.
Yeah, he just sucked them out with his
And then lips. He gave you money for them and then, like, made out with them in a back room with
the
your teeth.
The crazy thing was, I didn't even need to go to the dentist. He was just, he would very lovingly sneak into my room at night when I was a child, bend over me with his claws and just pick them out one by one.
That sounds very enjoyable.
That man was later arrested, show. Alex.
Oh, yeah.
The Long Island baby tooth.
Baby tooth stealer.
But I the way this was shot was really cool. The first shot up the throat where you see the mouth, like that, all that stuff was really good.
Reminded me of, what was that, Little Shop of Horrors.
Mm-hmm. That it is exactly what that reminded me of as well, Pete. I'm 100% with you. Let's talk about the relationships that Shadow sets up this episode, because there's a bunch of different things that are going on. The one I wanted to talk about first, since we're already talking about the Chicago storyline, is the fiancé. The scene with fiancé in the alleyway where they're chatting about the relationship to Mr. Wednesday. What did you think about that, and where do you think that's heading?
I thought it was kind of like she's the new Moon Shadow as far as like driving him around and kind of being his kind of like right arm for certain things. So I thought it was kind of a look at like Shadow's past and maybe other choices that he could make.
I didn't look this up, but is she like a Valkyrie? Is that a way of describing her?
Maybe.
Because don't they, I feel like that relationship, and I, having read the book, I know some of the things that happen later. I feel like her relationship with Shadow may be building toward something later on like that. And that she may be someone who helps Shadow sort of do what he has to do going forward. So I think their relationship, I guess that's all to say, in a coy way, their relationship I think is important. And I think she becomes, like Pete's saying, sort of the right arm of Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I may be forgetting some stuff from the book. I was sort of just basing it on the show. And my best guess was that, which is very weird given the old fiance thing, but my best guess was that she was another child of Odin, like Shadow Moon, and maybe just doesn't know it yet. Which might be an interesting thing potentially for Shadow Moon to play going forward if it turns out that Odin very naturally has backup plans for this whole war, that it's not all based on Shadow Moon, that there's another couple of kids running around there that he could potentially use for whatever he needs.
I think that is also accurate.
Yeah. But I like that. I thought that was interesting, and I liked his warning to her that they sort of made this deal to call each other if anything bad goes down. In Lakeside, another relationship that he strikes up is with the landlord. What do you think about that developing one?
You know, I see a spark. When the gun at the beginning. And like,
that's a hell of a meet cute right there.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. She has, to me, some big Laura Moon energy.
Because she's kind of like sarcastic and mean?
She looks like her. I think the actress they cast, I think, looks like her a little bit. So I feel like it makes a lot of sense that this might be a little small town romance. So between her, the way she is with him at the beginning, and then by the end, she's sort of like, hey, we're friends here.
Yeah, she like finally apologizes for the whole gun to the head thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And I think also there's clearly some stuff she needs to get over, probably romantically, that we get little teases of throughout the episode. So if they can find salvation in each other's arms.
Oh, yeah. God.
What?
I just died in your arms tonight.
I did want to, we briefly skipped over it, but I did want to kind of go back. Speaking of dying somebody's arms, the drink dance fighting, I mean, the fact that like they started that scene by saying like, let's get so drunk we'll piss ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's important to set goals for yourself when you're drinking, you know, and I got to admire, like, I think they achieved that night. They were getting fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, that's what going out to a bar, it's been a while since we've done it, but that's what it was like.
Yeah.
Think of all really? After shows, we would go out, dance, fight, and then drink until, when I peed my pants, it was like, hey, Time to go home.
I'd usually, you guys know this, but I'd usually pee my pants on the way in. Like, the guy would check the ID, and I just shit myself right there. I was so scared.
Yeah. That's true.
and then have to immediately go home.
Yes. Let's talk about Bilquis. This is a short scene, but after maybe a season of her not shoving anybody into her vagina galaxy, we get to see her do that again. Very
nice
creepy
to bring
effect.
That back.
As it was before, but things don't go well for her at the end. She gets sick. So what do you think's happening with Bilquis? What's your theory?
I think that was like the plan. Like, she had that initial meeting with the tech person and it didn't go well. So I think this guy who we knew was going to get shoved into her vagina galaxy, was a plant. And like, I guess his job is to kind of, rot from within, if you will. So it was hilarious and then kind of took a turn, and I felt bad for Bilquis.
Yeah, I think Pete's right. I think she was poisoned by the technical boy and the other new gods. And I think it's going to, just as we were talking about how she was sort of felt like in a powerful place at the beginning of the season, and now she's already perhaps in a less powerful place. But I get it. It's like, I mean, I make this analogy a lot. It's like that scene in the film, the cinema, Dumb and Dumber, when the gods of that, the heroes, they poison the guy trying to kill them with a hot pepper, and then have to spray him with ketchup to try to help him, but it doesn't work.
No.
I'll throw out an alternate thing. I like your guys' theory better, but what if the vomiting is like a pregnant type thing, and she's eventually going to just give birth to all the dudes that she shoved up there?
Oh, bummer.
That's a lot of babies to shoot out.
Yeah. Just a room full of man babies. Yeah, that's how they work, Pete.
If you got that many, you're just going to be shooting them out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Baby launcher.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep, we get it.
other moments to talk about. We kind of skipped over the Christmas pasties a little bit. What do you think's in those? What's going on there?
There's definitely something up with them. They're too good. I do think we've talked about Lakeside a bit. I do think there is sort of a tension in this town. Like, Julia Sweeney's being very nice, but she's also sort of pushing Shadow into doing certain things.
Yeah, she control. It seems like she controls people.
Yeah,
and she's like, "Don't forget to do this. You got to do that."
Mm-hmm. And I think we get a nice introduction to the town, and it makes it seem like it is very much like the hub of Nordic worship or just the Nordic culture in America, maybe, and that's why it's so important to Wednesday and Shadow by extension.
Yeah, I think the way it was like the first one is free kind of reminds me of like the lotus blossom that will just kind of lull them and make them never leave the town and always be there.
Do you think it's human? Is that what it is? Is that the meat that's going on there? Is that what happened to Allison? She was chopped up and made into pasties?
Oh, no!
I mean, yeah, probably human meat, right? What other kind of meat is there?
From people.
Yeah, probably. It was weird to me that the pasties, which I assume since they're Christmas pasties were some sort of dessert, were served with French fries and lettuce and tomato. So I assume they have to be savory, not sweet, right?
Yes, they're meat pies.
Okay.
I look forward to hearing. Though, like, Allison, I don't know how many pies she would make.
What? You could probably make a bunch of pies out of her.
But they're serving these pies, a lot of them every day.
Sure. I guess what I'm picturing in my head is the size of the pasties and then stacked up to the size of a human. But that's not really how it would work because a lot of humans are organs, they're bones, there's a lot of space in there. So you're not going to get
water.
Yeah,
a lot
you're not going to get like the volume of pasties equals the volume of human.
That's true. That's a
Why
real
are
bummer.
You thinking about that?
That's why when you're a human butcher, you have to really learn your trade. You know?
Yes. All I'm saying is I've been trapped inside with the same three people for a very long period of time, and I don't want to say I'm picturing their heads as turkeys, but maybe I am.
Is that like that old Looney Tunes where one person turns into a burger, the other a hot dog type of thing?
Yeah. Those are my – guess which kid is which.
Oh, my God. I don't want to play this game anymore. But speaking of using –
I know that son of yours is a hot dog, 100%. That kid's a hot dog.
Speaking of using all of the buffalo, I really liked the buffalo scene in the grocery store. That was really crazy and cool. I thought that was like one of the reasons I tune into the show is not only do they have like beautiful shots, but stuff like that, which is very artistic and intense. Yeah,
great visual. And it does seem like that vision is meant to convey like shit's coming for him. Like it's close and it's happening.
But what kind of shit is it, right? Is it Mr. Wednesday's shit or is it some other kind of shit?
I was thinking destiny, because to me that buffalo is a symbol of America. And so it's like his destiny in service of the American gods is coming much closer than it was before.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Well, we'll definitely. Go ahead, Pete.
There's also another joke about his hair, so I'm glad I'm not the only one who's kind of like living in a personal nightmare with this.
I completely skipped over this in my notes. This was the thing that I did actually feel like, oh, right, those characters are back. We got to see Salim very briefly.
Yes.
Which at this point seems very side to the narrative that's going on. It almost feels like it's going on this own show. He goes back, talks to Mr. Ibis. Nice to see him again. Not 100% sure why he's there, but happy to see him. And Salim just kind of wanders around, walks up to gods, spits on them, says, where's my gin? And then leaves with no consequences whatsoever. Big deal for a regular human cab driver, you know?
Yeah. He's really coming into his own. And I agree with you. I don't know what this is meant to symbolize. It does feel like if they're tying up plots from before or cleaning them up, and it's sort of like, yes, there was this whole thing with Salim and the djinn, and now that's gone away. Does that mean that it's because Wednesday's moved on and is now focused exclusively on Shadow, and that's where our focus should be? Or is there something else going on?
Right. I mean, I hope it's the latter. I hope it ties into the overall plot in some way and we get some sort of follow-up from it versus the show just realizing that Salim and the djinn was a super popular couple. Everybody was really into them. Everybody loved them. Their storyline was awesome. So they feel obligated to bring them back and make them part of it. Hopefully, it's making it important, not just because it's a fan favorite thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, this show also, in seasons past, lays out a lot of things and then sort of quickly brings them all together at the end. So maybe that's what we're getting again this season.
I did really like the ending, though. That cool shot of the giant Thunderbird going overhead was pretty awesome. The way it kind of started with that and ended with that.
Yeah, that was nice. I liked. I definitely like bring that back, and even you know tipping the hand a little bit about what's going on in Lakeside. This early, I appreciated putting that out there rather than holding on to it for episode 8 or something like that. I thought that was pretty good. Any other bits we want to call out before we start to wrap up here?
A couple things. Yeah. What do you think about? He sees this peacock in the woods. Is that a
straight peacock in it?
Is that a NBC streaming service tie-in or
probably? Everybody should check out the Saved by the Bell reboot. It's real good.
What just happened?
That was a plug for Saved by the Bell on Peacock. You got to get premium though, otherwise you can't watch all the episodes.
Wow.
This podcast just did a commercial for Peacock.
So speaking, my assumption with the Peacock, in all honesty, is I don't know if you've ever been to the zoo, but they let those birds just wander everywhere. So I assume there's a zoo nearby and the Peacock just came out in all seriousness.
Yeah, he did say in all seriousness, so you know he means business. That's a pretty cool peacock. It was hard to parse exactly what that was there, especially the last time we were sort of in the woods with Shadows when he hit that thing with the car, the deer, and the deer was just like fine there wandering around. So I don't know. I thought the peacock was Allison or meant to reference the missing girl, but I don't know.
What else? Any other scenes you want to mention?
We didn't talk about the scene on the roof with the moon lady, the telescope lady. Cause I do think there's a sort of a romance there. Some sort of feels like a comforting place for Shadow. And it's nice to see him have allies anywhere because he's a character who is just always has less information than he needs.
Yes.
Like that's like his whole thing.
Was that the same actress that previously played that character?
I don't know.
Yeah, I should have checked before we taped the podcast, but that was definitely someone where I was like, I don't remember this person. Maybe this is somebody different. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty scene. It's a nice visual. Again, it felt repetitious of stuff we've seen before to me, but...
Well, I think purposefully, though, I think it was meant to be.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a comfort, yeah.
And I did like, she was a cold-hearted, sexy bitch, talking about Zariah. Mm-hmm. And if you could just remember and to say those things at my funeral.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Note to self.
Pete, we'll say yours on March 23rd.
I thought maybe that's who the peacock was, but I wasn't sure.
Zariah?
Yeah.
Sure.
But I did want to, we got a new car in this episode, and that Thunderbird is sweet. Like, I hope we get a lot more of that Thunderbird. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to, you know, just shots of rolling in the Thunderbird, like, from the perspective of, like, maybe one of the hubcaps or something, so you can really get low to the ground.
Pete, whenever you say, you know what I mean, we do know what you mean, because it's often talking about a car.
Okay.
Great. Okay, let's start to wrap up here and talk about which god was worthy of your worship this episode, Pete. Who is worthy?
I am very excited for more Whiskey Jack. We only got a little bit in the beginning.
Didn't get a lot here.
I want more Whiskey Jack, and I think hopefully this season we'll spend some time on that.
Justin, what about you?
I'm going to give it up for Chernabog in this episode. Great to see him back. Really sticking to his guns, or in this case, a hammer. Peter Stormare is great. Every time I see him, I think about his scene in Armageddon. He's basically playing the same character.
All the time.
Yeah.
Every time.
It's great, though.
It's great. Great to see him back. I hope we get some sort of big battle at some point in this season, and that he gets to swing that hammer against some of those new gods.
Yeah, I was going to give it up for him, but since you took that one, I'll give it up for the Christmas pasties. They look real good. I want to know what's in them.
God.
I want to taste some. If it turns out to be human meat, you know what? I'm all in. It's been a weird year already.
What?
Yeah. Let's do it.
It's time to be cannibals.
Don't eat people, man.
There's
don't
nothing left.
Come on.
If you'd like to support our show, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen at A Godcast on Twitter, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, keep eating those pasties, folks.
They're people. They're people. Those Christmas pasties are people.